Welcome back.
Everyone's asleep.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to hour number two of the fastest 2 hours in talk radio. It's the Vinnie Eastwood Show, broadcasting live from New Zealand. And also, just a reminder to people, I do work very, very, very hard at this show. You know, I'm doing the videos, I'm doing the audio archives, I'm writing out the little blog postings, I'm running the website, I'm running the YouTube channel. I'm trying as hard as I freaking can in order to get some decent information and entertainment out there. And there is virtually little compensation for that, except for those people who appreciate the show enough to give something back. I would really appreciate it, particularly at this point in time. My car is broken down, engine's overheating, the missus has run out of fuel miles on her car, so she can't drive it kind of thing. So this is the unfortunate plea for donations. Please, ladies and gentlemen, please help me. I can't actually go out to public meetings to film them and get them up online for people to see now because my car doesn't work. I'm in quite desperate scenario right now. I don't know how many hundreds of dollars it's going to cost, but it's probably a lot. So I desperately, and underline that word desperately, need your support right at this very particular moment. Now, onto the show. We have the amazing Bob Tuscan. Welcome to the show. And he's just recently bought an NFL team, and he's going to be renaming them the Tuscan Raiders. Welcome to the show.
I like that. That's Tuskin, Vinny. Yeah. And by the way, I have no shirt on, which I didn't plan because I didn't think, you know, I'd be showing my beautiful face here on camera. But this is a great opportunity for me to remind folks out there that they should go outside for at least 15 minutes a day at about 1, 2 o'clock in the afternoon. And you could have some pants on if you like, or you can have some underwear or a bikini on for the ladies. And soak up some vitamin D. Get that vitamin D all in your system. Don't be afraid of the sun. It's summertime. It's a great opportunity for us to mention this. Now, sunscreen, on the other hand, is poison, absolute poison. I've interviewed Dr. Elizabeth Plord on the topic, and what happens is, Vinny, you're putting these nano-sized particles on your skin, and you think you're protecting yourself from the sun. But in all actuality, even though you're so-called being protected by the sunscreen, you're allowing for the harmful rays to still get into your skin and blocking out the beneficial rays that build pigment in your skin, which are there to protect yourself from the various cancers that you can get from the radioactive waves that come from the sun. So sunscreen is absolute poison. The best thing you can do is just limit your time in the sun, but at the same time, don't be afraid of the sun. Don't be a vampire. Soak up those rays and get that vitamin D.
And this also goes for Fukushima residents. Go outside and soak up some rays.
Yes, and you definitely got to be careful because you might grow another head or another limb, but that's all part of the process.
Yeah, exactly. Vitamin D does strange and wonderful things to the body.
Especially near Fukushima.
Yeah, especially vitamin cesium-130.
Yes, and don't forget, you want to be sure to take the strontium and the plutonium, and if you can get it in a concentrated enough form, make sure to make a nice little line like you would cocaine or something like that and snort away. Because, I mean, these folks, these things that have been released into our environment have a half-life of thousands of years. All you need is the tiniest of particles to get into your system, and it will kill you. All we need is the tiniest of particles to be released on the planet Earth, and it will kill us all. We're all going to die. Here's a great opportunity for some fear porn, Vinny, which I know. And I'm wearing no shirt, so another great opportunity for some fear porn here. You know? Which, if it's the brighter side of genocide on the Vincent Eastwood Show, ladies and gentlemen, at least one episode of fear porn a day, and the rest is history, or his story, depending on how you look at it.
Indeed, indeed. And Bob, I was just wondering what you've actually been up to, other than getting your 15 minutes of sunshine a day with your show and all your other activism and such.
Well, I like you, do a show 5 days a week, and interview all sorts of guests, and have a plethora of topics that I'm kind of a somewhat, you know, informed participant on. But I'm learning. I use my show as a learning process, and I'm venting most of the time. I'm just pissed off, and I need a place to be pissed off at. I mean, people look at our shows, dude, and they're like, you know, oh, this is a radio show. No, it's just a couple guys who woke up, whatever the hell that means, and are pissed off and get to talk to interesting people as an excuse on the airwaves.
I think you've just actually encapsulated how I view my radio show. It really is just an excuse to interview interesting people and learn stuff.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And that's all it is. There's no agenda. You know, I still get the comments, Bob, where do you get your funding? Like you, I'm lucky if I get a couple dollars, if at all, if anything. In fact, I haven't made a dime in months. You know, if I was doing this for the money, I definitely would have chosen a different career ages ago.
What was your last paycheck before becoming an activist?
Well, I've always had odd jobs, so I've had to do both. You know, I've had to go to school, be an activist, work a job, wash dishes, be an activist. And still to this day, I work a regular job, am a stay-at-home dad. You know, that's my main job. And you want to talk about not getting a paycheck for doing a tremendous amount of work. Wait until you have kids, or if you already have kids, you know what I'm talking about. I mean, and that's a great example, though. And it's a great parallel to being an activist. You don't need Federal Reserve notes or whatever central bank you have, currencies, to have to be a custodian of your child. You don't need any of that stuff as a motivator. The motivation is there regardless. You want to put food on the table regardless, non-genetically modified food, non-poison essentially. You want to make sure that they don't fall off a cliff regardless. We don't need the private bankers to dangle the carrots of debt in front of our faces in order for us to have the motivation to wipe my kid's diaper. I don't get paid for that, believe me. We go through diapers all day long here. We don't make a single dime. So the bottom line is, you know, our system of slavery has convinced us that we are only here for the sake of making money. And in a sense, we need that money because we live in this world and it's important. But in another sense, the resources are there and the motivation is there for us to just live our lives. Mm. But what happens is they want to divide it up into this debt-based, you know, existence and whatnot, and get us away from just functioning like normal human beings. The greatest example of this is a test that Pavlov did with chickens. He provided, and everybody knows about the Pavlovian dog, right? He rang the bell and the dog, you know, salivated and whatnot.
Oh, yeah, well, I remember that. In New Zealand, Pavlova is a dessert.
Oh, is it?
Yeah, yeah. It actually is pretty freaking nice, actually.
Do they put high fructose corn syrup?
What hasn't got high fructose corn syrup these days? I think it's homemade? A pretty short list. Yeah, okay. Well, you can't make it home way. It's made like with a lot of egg whites and sugar, basically.
Oh, so it's one of those factory with high fructose corn syrup stuff, huh?
Yeah.
Poison. Anyways, I digress. So Pavlov did a test with chickens. Everybody knows about the dogs, but he also did one with chickens. And he provided the chickens with an abundance of food and water, the basics, right? And whenever they were hungry, hopefully this was non-genetically modified food. Anyways, I digress. Whenever they were hungry, they'd go to the feeder, and there would always be the water or food there for them, whenever they wanted. They were hungry, they'd go, it's there, no problem. And he observed their behaviors under these conditions of constant abundance. Well, he then changed those conditions. He then removed food for a while and added food and took away the food. In other words, introducing various degrees of scarcity and then abundance and then scarcity. And this crazy world that we live in, this social Darwinism was created. The pecking order was created with these chickens. Okay, so only then, once he was altering this state in which the chickens were able to access their food, only then did all these behaviors start to develop. Only then did they start to hoard. Only then did they start to steal from one another, start to attack one another. He could even get them to kill each other if the conditions were tweaked just enough. And that's what the puppet masters, the powers that shouldn't be, are essentially doing by manufacturing scarcity, manufacturing our markets and our world today and our wars today to fulfill their benefits and to slowly, incrementally get rid of much of the useless eaters.
Now, can I also make a point here? I put on Facebook yesterday, Bob, and I think you'll appreciate this. I laugh when people who are allegedly awake spend all their time sitting down at their computers telling everybody else to get off their ass and wake up.
That's right.
Right, right. And I had this one comment that really enraged me. I'll read it out here. You said it yourself, Vinny. You just interview people. That's your job. Stroke your ego much? Again, I ask, where is your sweat going into? Where's your food, energy, systems you've constructed, or at least in the process of constructing? How are you yourself going to convince and demonstrate an economic model that satisfies all peoples of nations' interests without inciting the opposite? So basically, I'm one guy who's a radio interviewer, right? And I'm a bad person because I'm not solving all the world's problems by myself. And he says, go protest some more and make yourself feel like you're doing something. The irony is you are just the same behind a keyboard / microphone, interviewing people, pointing fingers. Sure, there's truth on both sides of your post. There is only one truth. There is only one solution. Do you have it? Now, that's one comment that I wanted to read out. The other one here is by another person. I've tried to fight the lies. That is a pointless effort. I don't want to be bothered trying to wake everybody up. So this is the two things that happen to people in this movement that are really, really negative. One, you tell everybody else, well, basically you're not doing anything, you're scum or whatever, because you're not solving the whole world's problems. Two, you get disillusioned with the fact that not everybody believes everything you say and wakes up instantly the second you mention something scary.
Yeah, I mean, and we see that attitude for so many. And it's part of the reason why collectively, well, there is no collective. That's the point.
Yeah.
It's no longer a movement. It's a bowel movement, really. And that's as simple as that. And as far as the first comment's concerned, you know, I've had that same comment in my mind internally. And you know, I say to myself, Bob, what are you really doing? What are you really accomplishing as a journalist, if you will? And it's, you know, I guess I'm not a journalist, but whatever I am or am not. And I've questioned that. And in the process, I've kind of tweaked my show here and there a little bit. I've tried to focus more on solution-oriented stuff, whatever that is or isn't. I do feel at times we're just preaching to the choir, and that's very frustrating because we don't want to do this to just sit here and have, oh, I almost used a crude reference of a circle. I'll skip that one. But you get my point. We don't want to sit here and preach to the choir all day long. Let's use that analogy instead. And so it's frustrating, and I can see the point, and I can see the urge to want to go on beyond just doing a show and presenting information and actually getting your hands dirty, so to speak. But not all of us are able to do that, and we all have our various parts to this overall big picture here that we take place in.
I look at it kind of like you say, you know, how you've got medical people on the battlefield, you know, you've got medics and you've got soldiers, right? I consider the truth movement media people as sort of like the medics, like we're the people that that patch up or the cooks in the background and, you know, that kind of thing, without which the soldiers would just be wounded and die. You know, there'd be nothing, there'd be no backline to support them going out and doing their work. And so what our role is merely to support the front line, not necessarily be at the front line ourselves, but to actually do for the front line what they cannot do for themselves because they're too busy fighting the enemy directly. We're the ones that are giving them ammunition by giving them coverage. We're the ones that are helping them out heal when they feel broken, when they feel sad, or when they feel down. You know, I can't tell you how many times, Bob, I've had really what I consider to be incredibly together activists who have called me up practically in tears, and me having spent maybe 4 or 5 hours on the phone with them, just trying to cheer them up because what they're going through is so damn hard.
There's a lot of burnout, you know. We see a lot of people just absolutely, crush or. What's the word I'm looking for? They just can't take the pressure of it all. And I've been doing this for so many years now that it's become just, I've become comfortably numb, to steal a title of a Pink Floyd song, to it all, which is scary in its own right, because, you know, I wonder sometime if I'm becoming too complacent with this, if I should be in more of a go out and get 'em mode. But to go back to what we originally stated or about our shows, you know, they're a learning process. They're a place to vent. And we don't consider the shows to be the end all. That's not the point of them. If we want to do that, we'll do our other forms of activism. You know, this makes up a small percentage in all actuality of what I do. I go out and I confront people, same, which, you know, I don't know how much confronting people, that's a whole different argument. I don't know how much of that does, but I do it. I call into local radio shows on a regular basis. I call into nationally syndicated talk radio shows that are beyond our ideals and our thoughts, and I give them hell on a regular basis. I grow a garden here locally. I've tried to support our sheriff here locally, who is a constitutional sheriff along the same lines of Richard Mack. I've met with people here that I like and that I love that are also interested in these things. I've helped people with their health. When I do shows on health, I find that to be incredibly rewarding. And if you want to talk about some topics, Vinny, that I've been very much heavily involved with lately on both the personal level and on the show, we can talk about health issues. So here's a perfect example, the shows that I've done on cancer, the shows that I've done on AIDS, of how our shows are not just simply for the sake of putting words out on the internet that serve no purpose, that are just talking about the Rothschilds 15 million different ways to Sunday. Here's a perfect example. What I'm doing is I'm talking about cancer, okay? I'm telling you about the poisons, and I'm curing people in my life and in your life that need the help. What a great example of how we go beyond this paradigm.
Indeed. And we'll be right back, ladies and gentlemen, with Bob Tuscan from the Star Wars Tuscan Raiders back in a minute.
On December 16th, 1961, the world turned upside down, then inside out, and I was born screaming in America. It was the tail end of the American dream, just before we lost our innocence irrevocably, when the TV eye brought the horror of our lives into our homes for all to see. I was told when I grew up I could be anything I wanted. A fireman, a policeman, a doctor, even president, it seemed. And for the first time in the history of mankind, something new called an astronaut. But like many kids growing up on a steady diet of Westerns, I always wanted to be the cowboy hero, that lone voice in the wilderness, fighting corruption and evil wherever I found it, and standing for freedom, truth, and justice. And in my heart of hearts, I still track the remnants of that dream wherever I go in my never-ending ride into the setting sun.
Welcome back. All right, welcome, everybody. You listen to the Vinnie Eastwood Show on AmericanFreedomRadio.com. I wanted to also read out some of my some of my replies to these Facebook people. One of them says, "I haven't noticed any change. We seem worse off than before. I don't see any progress towards freedom or people in control. I see people asking for more government intervention and more lies, and anyone who is quote-unquote awake is not willing to go towards any sort of solutions. Maybe I'm missing it. Correct me if I'm wrong. But what good is it to be awake? We are doing as much, if not less, than not awake people. And I said, look at it this way. If you convince yourself that doing anything is a waste of time, you've just made yourself useless, which is exactly what the elite want. Don't get depressed about it. Try to have fun and play with the idea of getting exterminated through the levity. You can find some energy and motivation. And you know, we all go through these phases where you get, you know, jaded. Jaded. I love that word because, oh my goodness, there is a lot of jadedness going around the truth movement. Bob, what say you?
Well, I think that's exactly right. We've become perpetual curmudgeons, and it's unfortunate. Whoa,
what is that word? I've never heard that word before.
Curmudgeon. Yeah, it's a grumpy, typically elderly, but in this case, just grumpy individual.
Like bludgeoning somebody with chrome.
Curmudgeon, yeah. And, you know, it's funny because that sort of sentiment well, you know, we're not doing anything, so therefore let's just not do anything, is exactly what feeds into the powers that shouldn't be in their agenda, like you said. I mean, if you don't do anything, think about it, then nothing's going to be done. But if you at least try to do something, and if it doesn't work, try something else, tweak it a bit. That's all we can do per se. And if you come up with a better idea, that's besides, you know, obviously doing nothing is not a better idea, then I'd love to hear it, because we definitely need to have this dialogue, and we do need to be self-critical. You know, I don't think this conversation itself is the problem. I think some of the conclusions that people make is the problem, and that this is a healthy thing, you know, because if we are to do the same thing over and over and over again and expect different results, even though we're getting the same thing over and over and over again, that's essentially, as many have said, the definition of insanity. And I might be insane, but I sure as hell will not be insane in that regard. So I might be crazy, I should say, but I'm sure as hell not insane. And if I don't see it working, I do think we should tweak things and try something new. But not doing anything, now that is just going to feed in more than anything else.
Yeah, I mean, and to anybody who says that all I do is sit here in this studio is and that's the only thing that I do is just nuts. Like seriously, like they haven't done any research at all. Okay, I'm in the streets protesting. I'm at public meetings filming, on the radio broadcasting the truth basically every single day. And this person goes out and says there's only one truth, there's only one solution, and he accuses me of having a big ego.
The final solution.
Yeah, I mean, what are you going to do?
He's a Nazi.
Yeah, totally, bro.
I'm not saying that he is, but...
I don't think he is either. Anyway, in terms of food independence, which he questioned me on, he said, we're growing a garden in the backyard, and we've just started being able to get food out of it. It takes a while to get a garden established and get your foods out of it, and now we've got about maybe 10% of our food being grown there, and we just planted a whole bunch of stuff yesterday. And in terms of economic independence, which is another point that he raised, basically I'm doing volunteer work, right? Now, people appreciate it and donate. Hence, I've been able to work without an employer and not have to spend anything on travel costs to get to and from my slave job, or waste any time doing that. So I can spend every available minute exposing scumbaggery. Now, I'm not an economist. I mean, so I don't know what economic model necessarily is going to work. And as far as I know, no established economist knows how an economy is supposed to work either. And if they do, they've yet to implement an economic model that works. And you know, I've basically taken a big thing on my shoulder here. Like, I'm compensating for the entire media apparatus in New Zealand's lack of relevant information or real news, like, by myself. Okay, you know, if you name me one person in this country who's built a website, TV, and radio show by themselves and managed to stay afloat for more than half a decade, please show them to me. They don't exist. I'm just trying to.
No, he's from Australia.
See, you know, that's the real
David
problem.
David Icke. Oh, wait, he's from England. Oh, sorry.
Yeah, I mean, there's many people out there who've done it, but in terms of New Zealand, and this is where, you know, my focus and specificity comes in here, there really ain't anybody else doing it. Which is incidentally the reason why I try to give so many New Zealanders on the show, because otherwise they wouldn't really get into the international stage or the media, because there's so many things that happen in this country that are an incredible microcosm to look at for the rest of the world. I mean, I don't think you were listening to the first hour, Bob, but we were talking about how corrupt our government is, that they can literally just steal a billionaire's assets with no court, no warrants, no nothing. And have the entire media just demonize the guy, and then they get away with it. And everybody involved becomes
a bit of it. I listened to a bit of it before I had to go on another show. And it's, you know, I mean, it's of no surprise, I'm sure. We're not saying anything new. New Zealand's not the only one. The United States is not the only one. This is corruption that happens all over the world. They don't call it the New World Order for nothing, even though I think that is probably not the greatest of terms to describe the agenda, but bottom line is there's corruption everywhere you look, in all countries, in all size and all forms, and that we need to expose it, and we need to be hyper-local and at the same time also broadcast to the rest of the planet. Because of the internet these days, we have a unique ability to do what we've never been able to do before, and I think that that is a great luxury. And that we need to make as much use of it as possible. And that's essentially what we're doing right now on the air, broadcasting from Florida to New Zealand, from New Zealand to Austin, Texas, and so on and so forth. And it's a great luxury that we have. Now, on the other end of the spectrum, to look at some of the cons, the internet is like a vacuum in many respects. It sucks up all the junk, and there's all that fluff, just like television. You know, there's programming on your computers, you know, the old AOL model, that pyramid with the eye in it, where you'd go to their screen and you'd be stuck within their paradigm, if you will. And thank goodness we're beyond that, because that was keeping people in a box or pyramid, whichever one you prefer. They prefer the pyramid, by the way. But, you know, the bottom line is, so back to the internet being a vacuum, you know, it sucks up all this junk and all this fluff, and it's very hard to find these good bits of information, shows like Vinnie Eastwood and Bob Tuskin and others. And the powers that shouldn't be have accounted for this. And that's why they've allowed for it to go on for as long as they have without pulling out the internet kill switch and coming down on us. Now, of course, they've tried to bring things like SOPA and PIPA and all these other things to slowly crack down. And of course,
speaking of which, do you know what you call a company that's sympathetic towards SOPA?
Sympathetic to SOPA. Oh, here we go. Get ready for the sound effect, Mr. Producer. You ready for the drum roll or the whatever that's called?
Snare drum, it's called. So pathetic.
Only on the Vincent Eastwood Show, ladies and gentlemen. There you go. Where's the sound effect?
It's not
slow.
Slow.
Oh, there we go.
I don't have a board op.
Come on. All right.
But you're right, actually, Bob. They really have started to they've come up with all these plans to censor the web, but they haven't implemented them because there's just as much disinfo on the web as there is in
there. They don't care. I mean, do they really care? I don't think they do. I think they kind of get off on the fact that there's a website dedicated to exposing them. Oh, look at this guy, this Schmendrick. You know, look at him.
What does the word Schmendrick mean?
Vinny, do we speak the same language, or do you guys speak English there?
Schmendrick
by the way. It's a Yiddish word.
Oh, okay. It sounds some kind of like a smitten mandrake.
And now it's going to be a Jewish conspiracy because I used the Yiddish word. So this is just proof that Bob Tuskin is a crypto Jew. Actually, I'm not so much of a crypto Jew, and that the Jews run the world. And it's only the Jews, always the Jews, forever the Jews, and nothing but the Jews. Your mic's muted. Try it again.
Never mind. I was going to make some kind of a joke about children in schools being having juice boxes forced onto them, you know, in order to keep them.
Oh, the juice boxes. Yes, that's a big juice conspiracy.
Yeah. Everything's a Jewish conspiracy, don't you know? Every time a water main blows in Mecca or something like that, Saudi Arabian officials come out and they blame Israel as a Jewish conspiracy, as opposed to their own incompetence with their inability to maintain their own infrastructure.
Well, I mean, it's important. You know, this is a topic that we've strangely gone on here for a second that I talk a lot about because I happen to come from a Jewish family, whatever that means or doesn't mean. I also come from a family of human beings, believe it or not. I know that's very strange, right? So, I happen to come from that background, and they're real secular, and they don't really – they go to temple when it's fashionable maybe, and they go to the deli and have a cup of matzo ball soup, and they're Jewish, right? They're not, however, involved with this cabal, involved with the Rothschild central bankers, and are involved in the criminal state of Israel, killing Palestinians, dropping white phosphorus gas on them.
No more than somebody who has a Catholic family is obviously linked up to Jesuit assassins or something.
Exactly right. And, you know, I've tried to make this point, but there is an element amongst us that is hell-bent on the fact that it's the Jews, and they can't distinguish names from groups. You know, I can sit here and all day long tell you about the criminal family known as the Red Shields, the Rothschilds. And we can make a great point that they are so-called Ashkenazi Jews that are not real Jews. They're not the true Semitic people, but it's a whole different story. And that has nothing to do with the guy at the deli down the street who makes a mighty fine bagel with lox on it. And I've used all these horribly stereotypical examples here, but you get my point. There's everyday people that are everyday people.
Yeah. I mean, my former producer, Mitch Santelli, is Jewish.
Santelli was your former producer.
Mitch Santel.
Mitch Santel. I thought you said Pete Santelli. I'm sorry.
Please don't mention that name on the show ever again. And the editor of this magazine here, Uncensored Magazine, my good friend Jonathan Eisen, he's Jewish. Another friend of mine, Gilad Amir, who promotes dance parties and stuff like that, he's Jewish. I'm friends with all of these guys. They're not involved in no conspiracy, bro. They're actually working against the system, not with
Ladies and gentlemen, I hope you take this clip and you spread it wide and far. Vinnie Eastwood is secretly, or not so secretly anymore, working for the Jews. He is a shill. He has just admitted it, and this is YouTube gold. This is a great clip for everybody to spread, and I hope they do so. Vinny, you've been exposed, brother.
Yeah, see, that's three of my friends out of hundreds that happen to be
I don't want to hear
therefore
it.
I work Jewish. For them.
I come from a Jewish family, even though I don't practice the religion at all, even though I can't stand what Israel is doing, what the Zionist lobbyists are doing. But I'm on your show right now. You're having me on. That's grounds for some sort of shady business here. I mean, I could be funding you. I could be paying you money for this interview, and this could possibly be nothing more than one of those Jewish propaganda pieces.
Yeah. And that's the interesting thing as well. It doesn't matter how you mention it or how you spin it or what the facts are. It's all a Jewish conspiracy. Right?
It is. And here's the funny thing about that. The certain lobbyist, AIPAC, Abe Foxman, you know, and others that are pushing the true criminal agenda in the name of Judaism or Israel or whatever they want to use as their proxy, they are very much feeding off of these trolls or these individuals out there that want to just say it's all the Jews, it's the Jews, 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 and they get this Jewish tunnel vision, which I'm not sure what that would look like. They own these guys. They are fond of these people, and they like them. It's a perfect Jewish agent provocateur.
Totally. And we'll be right back after the break. Ladies and gentlemen, don't you go anywhere.
Boy, Vincent, be nice.
my other special guest is Bob Tuskin. He was originally in a Star Wars movie as one of the Tuscan Raiders, and now he's become a famous radio show host.
All right, anyway.
Can you do the rest of the show? Yeah, back into the Vincent Eastwood character, please.
Yeah. Well, see, I'm actually wearing my hat from my dad's company, and God rest his soul, Eastwood Forklift Tires. He designed like 400 different types of tires himself. He was the guy who invented the ability to bond metal to rubber, and he managed to solve traction problems and freezing works. And that was my dad.
Have left behind a huge estate.
Yeah, he did, and it's all locked away in a trust, so I can't benefit from any of it.
Oh no, it's a Jewish conspiracy. Dude.
Hey, I could have, like, if they had split it up equitably amongst the kids and what have you, we'd all have our own homes paid off. Like, basically, that'd be about as much just for us kids in the estate. But it's locked down to the point where if anybody gets anything, that means everybody has to get everything, and you have to get everybody in the entire trust to agree, which basically, for all intents and purposes, means nobody gets anything ever. And so I'm going to have to do whatever I can in order to just survive at this point. it's unfortunate. But, you know, such is life. You don't get everything you think you need. And you just got to survive otherwise. Now, infighting in the truth movement, and this is something that is a very interesting topic, and I don't want to mention any names here, and I don't want to go into it. I just want to talk about the subject of infighting, just in general.
Do we have to?
You know, maybe we could change the subject if you got something you'd rather talk about, Bob.
I don't know. I there's a million other topics I'd rather talk about, to be honest, and I don't mean to be a party pooper here, because it is definitely a topic that is prevalent, but I've tried to resist it at all possible angles, mm-hmm. and not because I'm concerned about, you know, I don't know. I think there's more important topics that I focus on that I think we should get into while we have some remaining time here on the show. And the main one is the HIV issue for me. And I made the point a couple breaks ago that, you know, we were talking about what it is we do that actually makes a difference. And I said that when we talk about health, somebody out there listening, hopefully, will actually be able to incorporate the information provided and protect themselves and save themselves from the pharmaceutical industrial complex's cocktails that they want to poison you with, and so on and so forth. So for me, the two big topics lately have been cancer and AIDS. AIDS being something that I've been involved with for some time now. And there's a lot of disinformation about the HIV topic out there that I'd like to address just briefly, and I hope people look into it further when they get some time and go beyond just the surface level info I'll be able to get into. There's two schools of thoughts amongst the alternative media, whatever that is or isn't. There's the idea that HIV is a virus that was manufactured in a laboratory, put into vaccines, and spread amongst us to slowly kill us. Okay. I have no doubt that there's nasty stuff in vaccines. I have no doubt that there is an agenda, rather, to slowly kill us. All right. But here's my problem with that. And here's why I subscribe to the other idea, which is, rather than AIDS being developed in a laboratory, AIDS was developed in a boardroom. The idea that this virus, which they've never actually isolated, known as HIV, which they don't actually test for when you receive a so-called HIV test, is the cause of this immune system breakdown, is heavily naive, especially when you couple that with the fact that people who are supposedly dying of AIDS are tested for their antibodies. And these antibodies are naturally elevated when the body's fighting off illness, okay? So you can be pregnant, and as a pregnant lady, your body's antibodies are naturally elevated because you're protecting the baby and you're protecting the process of pregnancy. You could have underlying illnesses like malaria and so on and so forth that could increase your antibody level. This isn't HIV. This is high levels of antibodies. But you're told that you have HIV if you reach a certain criteria and you meet a certain risk group. In other words, if you're gay, you're black, you've been to Africa, all these questions that you'll hear when they give you the test, the so-called test. And then they tell you that, okay, you're HIV positive, supposedly, even though we've never isolated it, even though we're basing this on just the fact that your antibodies are elevated and you're going to die. And you need to protect yourself for as long as you're able to live with a drug called AZT. What is AZT?
Well, before you continue, this sounds remarkably similar to how they diagnose children with ADHD and ADD with no testing to actually verify it really of any scientific nature, and then they drug them for the rest of their life.
That's very that's a good example that I've never thought of. And there's no test. They say that there's different levels in your brain, but they've never been able to test your actual brain chemistry. They just kind of come up with this arbitrary definition of ADD. And even there was that story going around, the so-called founder of ADD had admitted on his deathbed, I think, that sure enough, it's a made up thing. Just as made up as the Jewish people, perhaps. Okay, bad joke. But the point remains that HIV works in a similar fashion. So they take these people, they create this boogeyman of a virus that's put you in fear. They say, you're going to die. You're going to die because you have this illness. And then they put you on AZT. What is AZT? Well, AZT is a reject chemotherapy drug. They originally used it as a chemotherapy drug.
I thought AZT was a West Coast rapper.
Well, that's a different AZT, Vinny. Okay.
Oh wait, maybe that was Eazy-E.
He died of AIDS, didn't he?
Incidentally.
Maybe. Is that
Eazy-E died of AIDS because he didn't take his AZT?
No, because he did take his AZT. And what is AZT? It's a reject chemotherapy drug. They wouldn't even give it to cancer patients anymore, and we all know chemotherapy is poison. And it's a DNA destroyer. And what they do is they take somebody who's already sick, who already has their antibodies elevated, and they poison them with this medication that for the rest of their lives on a daily basis, that's going to further kill them and make their health decline. This is what AIDS is. This is what the HIV virus is. And in Africa, it works in a similar fashion. In Africa, they don't even test the people. They have something what's known as the Bengui definition of AIDS. And that is, if you have certain amount of symptoms, if you're losing weight rapidly, if you're sneezing, if you're coughing, if you have enough of these symptoms, you're then considered to be HIV positive with no test at all. And you're told you're going to die, and you have to make the choice as to whether or not you want to eat food, because you're very poor and AIDS has become a brand name for poverty in Africa, or you'll take your medicine. So people are deciding, okay, I eat some food here, or I have some of my AIDS medicine, and they can't decide. And then, of course, they don't have access to clean water. Most of these people are dying because of malnutrition, but no Bono, Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, and your also great eugenics plan, it is AIDS. Thank you for saving them with vaccines and medication. Because that's exactly what they need. More vaccines, more medication, even though they can't get a gosh darn clean glass of water. Are you kidding me? I mean, this stuff infuriates me, Vinny, and it's something that I've spent a lot of time on. I think it's a very important topic. And without getting too much more ahead of myself, I want to give out some quick resources for people to check out to learn more. One is House of Numbers. It's a great documentary that interviews many of the people who are involved with this field, even those that are involved with the lies, which is very important to hear it out of their own mouths, exposing themselves. It's called House of Numbers. You can find it on Netflix. You can find it on YouTube in a full-length version and so on and so forth. The other is made by a friend of mine, and it's called HIV Equals AIDS, Fact or Fraud. Okay, HIV Equals AIDS, Fact or Fraud, and that one you can find at the website AIDSfraudvideo.com. There's a group in New Zealand that looks at this. Rethinking AIDS has a group in New Zealand. There's a group in Perth, Australia, that looks at this, known as the Perth Group. And there's plenty of resources out there. Vinny?
I was hoping, just before we go to break, that you could plug your website and your show, Bob, so that people can go and listen to it.
If they want to listen to it after all this today, geez, they're probably going to swear me off. They said, geez, this guy was awful on the Vinny Iswood show. Why would I want to listen to his show? So, yeah, I do a show, whatever. It's 5 days a week, bobtuscan.com. Bobtuscan.com. It's at 10 o'clock East Coast time. That's 10 p.m. Eastern time. And I'm on Monday through Friday. Have an archive section, and I hope people check it out. One quick thing before I go, because I know we're coming up to the final moments here. There's a little girl named Lindsay Nagel. She was adopted from Romania. She was told she had AIDS. At 1 year old, they put her on the AZT. Her health started to rapidly decline. She realized that she was getting sick from the medication. They took her off. She's now 20-plus years old. All the other kids in her portion of the AIDS hospital, all dead. She's alive, living a healthy lifestyle. This is one of the biggest frauds of our lifetimes, folks, and we need to expose it. Vinny, thanks for having me on, brother.
Thank you very much for aiding me on this particular broadcast and filling it up with some good information, Bob. Thank you very much for your time. All right, and ladies and gentlemen, bear in mind, and I recommend that you go to thevinnyeastwoodshow.com. Please subscribe for a couple of dollars a month so that we can keep everything running here. Bear in mind, of course, that my car is kind of broken down, overheating, and it's going to cost several hundred dollars to fix. So if you could donate, that would be very nice, because that way I can keep going to protests, keep going to public meetings, and putting them online for people around the world to see, which otherwise they generally wouldn't. Thank you very much for your time, ladies and gentlemen, and we'll see you again another time.